It is a delight to be with you again today from Grace Baptist Church for our Sunday school time. But oh, let us always remember when we come to break the bread of life and look into the Word of God, it's a solemn time. It's a solemn time. And I pray by God's Spirit that He will apply these words we hear today to our hearts, that it might literally change our lives and make us grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we want to look at grief and perseverance. James chapter 5, verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. Now, I know the King James Version has patience. I will discuss that in a moment. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and seen the end of the Lord, the end intended by God, the end of Job's grievous situation purposed by God, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Please, please remember that as we will be looking through the book of Job, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now again, patience, as the King James has translated this, is a temperament. The Greek word means long-tempered, meaning we have a long fuse before we get contrary or lose heart. That was not the reality with Job. Perseverance is a God-given strength granted through the Spirit of God to endure all hardships, even when we lose heart for a season. The Greek word means to remain under. It means to bear up under a heavy load without finally surrendering to circumstances under trial. It is God who strengthens us and carries us in order for us to endure to the end. This was the reality with Job. As Christ endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him, so we must endure our cross with its many tribulations for the joy, listen up, for the joy of knowing him in the fellowship of his sufferings. As with Christ, so with us, and so with Job. We're going to be going through the book of Job. Please, please, just listen. Do not try to follow me. I'll give chapter references, but we'll be moving freely through the verses. Job, chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Blameless and upright. You see, he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings. This covered his sin. Thus, Job did regularly. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all people of the East. Now there was a day, and the Lord said to Satan, "Where do you come from?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" Remember, his blamelessness came from following the practice of offering burnt offerings, covering his sin in obedience to God. So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has, all his possessions, is in your power." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And may I also say that God warned Satan, "Only do not lay a hand on him." Now, getting to those possessions. The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. They killed the servants. At the same time, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And then the Chaldeans formed 3 bands, raided the camels and took them away and killed the servants. Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they were dead. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, losing all of that, his possessions and his children and his servants, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Chapter 2. Again, there was a day. And I wonder how much time has passed since these first calamities came upon Job. We're going to see in a moment a time frame, but not quite yet. Again, there was a day. Satan came to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And still, at this point in time, and still, he holds fast to his integrity. Please remember that. Job's integrity. Something very important to Job. His integrity. Although you moved me, says God, against him to destroy him without cause. But folks, not without purpose. Not without purpose. Please remember that. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand. Satan is God's devil. And he can do nothing except God allow him. He is in, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Folks, that's horrendous. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Again, we're going to see Job's three friends now, and I still have in mind how much time is passing. Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they sat down with Job on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now, we've heard this 7 days, but keep listening as we move on. Chapter 3. After this, Job opened his mouth. Now, listen. Time has passed, folks. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. May the day perish on the day which I was born. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. Why did I not die at birth? For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest. There in death, the wicked ceased troubling. No one would trouble me. And there the weary are at rest. The prisoners rest together. They do not hear the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant free from his master. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul, who long for death but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly, are glad when they can find the grave? A death wish, folks. God's people should not wish for death because of suffering, trial, and tribulation sent upon them by God, maybe through the agent of Satan. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Now, did you hear that? He's lost all that he has and his family. Folks, I wonder what you and I would do in the same case. Would we be any better? I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. And this brings to mind the mouthpiece of God will speak later in the person of Elihu, where Elihu claims and says from the Spirit of God, when God gives quietness, who then can bring trouble? Nobody. But Job says, I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Reading from chapter 6 now. We've had the three friends of Job entering the discussion. I'm not going to be reading from any of them. I'm going to give you Job's reactions. Then Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were fully weighed, and my calamity laid with it on the balances. Remember our discussion of the balances? We'll see that a little later. For then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore, my words have been rash. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks in their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. God allowing Satan to terrorize Job. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant the thing that I long for. What does he long for? That it would please God to crush me, that he would loose his hand and cut me off. My goodness. Folks, that is not patience. Please, let's be honest. Moving to chapter 7. This is going to give us real light here as we move on, into discovering the time. So I have been allotted months of futility. Job 14:5 is going to show us as we get there. Months can mean years, folks. Months can mean years. Recently, I told you that at least for the last 10 years, I have been under much more tribulation than at any point in my life. It's been extremely difficult for me. I have been attacked by Satan overwhelmingly in my mind and my thoughts. And it's been very, very difficult. So Job says, so I've been allotted months of futility, and wearisome nights have been appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be ended? I've had nights like that many times. For I have had my fill of tossing till dawn. My flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks afresh. I think a reference back to the boils and the terrible pain and suffering he's going through physically. It's not real easy to sleep when you have that kind of affliction physically. I've had tremendous pain in my body. I know others that I pray for who've gone through the same thing. It's pretty rough when pain keeps you from sleeping. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Did you hear that? His days are spent without hope. Friends, that's not speaking from patience. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a sea serpent that you set a guard over me? He speaks to God that you set a guard over me. When I say my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions. Now listen to this, folks. Listen. So that my soul chooses strangling, death, rather than my body. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like suicide to me. I loathe my life. I would not live forever. Here's the most frightful thing I think he says in all of the book. Let me alone. Let me alone. For my days are but a breath. From this very book, I have been careful, careful not to tell God to leave me alone. Folks, if God leaves you alone, you're finished. You're finished. How long? Job says, how long? Friends, that's not a sign of patience. Patience is long-tempered. Will you not look away from me? And again, let me alone. Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Goodness. What have I done to you, O watcher of men? He says to God. Why then do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? Chapter 9. But how can a man be righteous before God? Who can say to him, what are you doing? For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I could not answer God. I would beg mercy of my judge. If I called and he answered me, now listen to this. If I called and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. When we believe not, he remains faithful. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. For he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. But may I again interject here? Not add to the scripture, but interject. Job says, and multiplies my wounds without cause, but Job, not without purpose. Not without purpose. Think about that yourselves, folks. You can't think about anything you've done necessarily in a particular situation that was wrong, but you suffer for it. Well, there's a purpose there. There's a purpose from God, and that's to make you more like his son. Then I would speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Moving on to chapter 10, my soul loathes my life, hates my life. What about your life today, my life today? Do we hate our life? We may hate the world and the sin around us and the sin in us. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. Folks, we're going to see God doesn't have to answer to anybody. God doesn't have to answer to anybody. Your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity. Yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray that you've made me like clay, and will you turn me into dust again? Romans 9:20. Who are you who replies to God, why have you made me thus? Now that's the word of God, folks. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Folks, he is persevering, but not very patiently. Job acknowledges it is a matter of perseverance, not patience. But that does not diminish his bitterness. If I am wicked, woe to me. Even if I am righteous, I cannot lift up my head. Full of disgrace, see my misery. Now this is true of you and me, as it was true of Job. Goodness gracious, we're looking at me, me, me in the midst of trial and tribulation. We're just so bound up with ourselves and our trouble. Goodness gracious, I am guilty of the same. Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Oh, that I had perished and no eye had seen me. Moving on now to chapter 13. In answering his friends as they have been criticizing him, Job says, behold, my eye has seen all this that you gentlemen are talking about. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I'm not inferior to you. But I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. Now listen to this. Got to remember it in its context. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But listen what he says in the very next statement. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. And then he goes on to say, he also, God, is to me salvation. Please keep listening. For a hypocrite could not come before him. Listen carefully to my speech and to my declaration with your ears. See now, I have prepared a case. I have prepared a case. I know that I shall be vindicated. Oh my goodness. Folks, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his mercy. He has saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. This sounds like me. Job sounds like me before God revealed his sovereign grace to me. I was saved. But in that salvation, as time went on, God revealed his sovereign grace. And I realized I was not a little bit better than everyone else who did not exercise their free will to make the right choice as I did. Sounds like me before God revealed his sovereign grace to me, as he does with Job at the end of this book. I was saved but did not know God's sovereignty. Job goes on. Only two things do not do to me, then I will not hide myself from you. Withdraw your hand far from me, and let not the dread of you make me afraid. He's already said exactly the opposite, but now he says this. Then call and I will answer, or let me speak, then you will respond to me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgression and my sin. Why do you hide your face from me and regard me as your enemy? Why do you hide your face from me? Again, Elihu, after he had said, when God gives quietness, who then can make trouble? He also went on to say, and when he hides his face, who then can see him? Whether against a nation or a man alone. And Job asks, why do you hide your face and regard me as your enemy? Moving on to chapter 14. Mankind, born of a woman, Job speaking, is a few days and full of trouble. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. Now, did you hear that? Time, how much time has gone by? Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. That shows that months can mean years in the language of God in this book. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Now moving to chapter 16. Job says, this is a big critical point here. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleads for his neighbor. Job needs a mediator. For when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. He's referring there to physical death. Chapter 17. My spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave for me. Where is Job's patience? Where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Now, folks, that's not very consistent. For one who says, God is to me salvation. God is to me salvation. And he says, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? But may I say to you, and may I say to me, how consistent are we? How consistent are you and I when under hard trial? Shouldn't be too judgmental too quickly. Chapter 19. Know then that God, listen to this, goodness gracious alive. We should learn from this that we don't do the same thing. Know then, says Job, that God has wronged me. In the King James Version, it says overthrown me. And I'm going to show you why these translators have said wronged me and has surrounded me with his net. They say wronged in that context because of the very next verse. If I cry out concerning wrong, I am not heard. Who's he crying out to? He's crying out to God. If he cries out to God concerning wrong, I am not heard. If I cry aloud, there is no justice. Goodness gracious. He has fenced up my way so that I cannot pass. And he has set darkness in my paths. He has stripped me. Now listen to this. God has stripped me of my glory. Goodness gracious. And taken the crown from my head. He breaks me down. Me. He breaks me down on every side and I am gone. My hope he has uprooted like a tree. What is his hope? What is his hope? His own righteousness? I just asked the question. He has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counts me as he counts his enemies. For the hand of God has struck me. And I'm reading from chapter 19 now. Now listen to this. This is really good. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Goodness gracious. That became reality as we read from that book. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart yearns within me. Now listen. Again, Job's expressing what he thinks to be true, and he's right. But it won't be dependent upon his righteousness. And I thought that way before God showed me his sovereign grace. As a saved man, I thought my salvation was due to me making the right choice on my own. Chapter 21. Job says, "As for me is my complaint against man. If it were, why should I not be impatient?" Now, folks, the King James says troubled. The New American Standard and the English Standard Version, as well as the New King James Version, translate it impatient. It's worth giving a thought. And if it were, why should I not be impatient? There's perseverance in this book, folks, but not a great deal of patience. Very little. Chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, find God, that I might come to his seat." Now listen what he says. "I would present a case before him and fill my mouth with arguments." Again, folks, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Don't bring that case before God. He won't hear it. "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But God is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me." That is so true. But it certainly doesn't match up with almost everything we've read before. "And many such things are with him. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. When I consider this, I am afraid of him. For God made my heart weak, and the Almighty terrifies me, because I was not cut off from the presence of darkness." This is a good testimony. But wait, folks. Job has more to learn. Moving to chapter 27. "Moreover," Job continued his discourse and said, God lives. Listen to this, folks. Listen to this. From what we just read, now listen to this. Moreover, Job continued his discourse and said, God lives, having taken away my justice. Goodness. And the Almighty, having made my soul bitter. As long as my breath is in me and the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. After what he just said, he says this. God has taken away his justice. But my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. Let me say this, folks, to you. If your righteousness is not Jesus Christ, you better let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. He spoke a little too soon. It's God's desire for us to do right. No two ways about it. But folks, that falls short of God's righteousness. That falls short of God's righteousness. Chapter 28, Job says, and to man God said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Again, a good testimony. How often do you and I give a good testimony, and then when hard trial comes on us, we look like we don't know God from third base, as our dear pastor says, not knowing God from third base. Job further in chapter 29 continued his discourse and said, oh, that I were as months past or years past, as the days God watched over me. In other words, God's not watching over me now, but I want to go back to the past when he watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, by his light I walked through darkness, just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, my children around me. Folks, of course we would say something like that. But remember, we've got to love God more than we love others. He says, I put on righteousness. He's talking about those days past. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Whose righteousness did he put on? Remember, he's connecting his righteousness to the days he was in God's good favor and things were going well in his life. Folks, you and I do the same thing. We do exactly the same thing. Men, listen to this now. He sort of gets a bit haughty, but maybe not haughty, just telling the truth. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel when God's favor was on him. So I dwelt as a king in the army. Chapter 30. But now they mock at me. They abhor me. They keep far from me. They do not hesitate to spit in my face. The days of affliction take hold of me. You see, Job is not choosing the days of affliction, and that's going to be addressed by God to him later on, or maybe it's Elihu. We'll see. God has cast me into the mire. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. Now listen to this. You spoil my success. Now, the King James says, dissolve my substance. I think you spoil my success is more fitting. But when I looked for good, evil came. And when I waited for light, then came darkness. Chapter 31. Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? He's acknowledging that. God sees his ways and counts all his steps. Now listen, because this brings to mind, I pray, what you heard in my message concerning the balances. Job says, let me be weighed on an even balance or honest scales, but an even balance, that God may know my integrity. I pray you listen to that message, because folks, he will be weighed on an even balance when his integrity is replaced with Christ's righteousness. If I have covered my transgressions as Adam, he has knowledge of that, folks. By hiding my iniquity in my bosom, and of course the reference is that I not done that. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Folks, if we pray according to his will, he hears us. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book. King James says, rather than prosecutor, my adversary. Both are weighty, aren't they? Well, again, that book I'm reading from, folks, I'm reading from that book. And the book came in due time. Now we have God's mouthpiece. Just listen to the text. All this is going to be seen clearly. This is God's man sent by God to prepare Job to see God when God speaks. And when we say to see God, we mean with the mind's eye. And we'll see more about that. Then the wrath of Elihu was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Folks, you're not going to see in God's discourse one word against Elihu. So please listen up. Also against his three friends, Job's three friends, his wrath was aroused, just like God, because they found no answer and had condemned Job. Elihu and God are in perfect agreement here. Elihu proclaims, for I am full of words. The spirit, now what spirit is that? Is it a spirit of error? A spirit of deceit? Or is it from God? I contend this is the Holy Spirit within me, compels me. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man. For I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker would soon take me away. Chapter 33. But please, Job, hear my speech. And he's not talking about making a speech. He's talking about what he's going to say, his words. And listen to all my words. My words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. Now, folks, this man's either from God or he's a liar. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Listen. Truly, I am as your spokesman before God. The King James Version really puts it strongly, saying, I am in God's stead. Folks, this is a type of Christ. This is a type of Christ. I also have been formed out of clay. And I have heard the sound of your words, saying, he brings back to Job the words that he said, I am pure without transgression, I am innocent and no iniquity in me. Yet he, God, finds occasions against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths. So Elihu says to him, look, look, Job, in this you are not righteous. Folks, that destroys Job's entire argument. I will answer you, for God is greater than man. Why do you contend with him? Listen, I told you this would come up. For God does not give an accounting of any of his words. Put a star by this. This is a central point of this book. God is absolutely sovereign. You don't contend with God because he doesn't give an accounting of any of his works. He's saying that to Job. He's saying that to you and I. Especially when we are in deep trial and anguish and grief. If there is, as he goes on, a messenger for mankind, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show man God's uprightness. Who is that? Who is the mediator to show human beings God's uprightness? You know who it is. It's Jesus Christ. Then God is gracious to mankind and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. The mediator. The ransom. His flesh shall be young like a child's, this human, this mankind that God is being a mediator for. He shall return to the days of his youth. And this is a reference to Job. With that mediator in consideration, the boils will clear up. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy. For God restores to man, listen to this, God's righteousness. Did you hear that? See, that's the question here. Not your own righteousness, but God restores to man God's righteousness. He will redeem his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Give ear, Job. Listen to me, says Elihu. Hold your peace, and I will speak. Chapter 34. For Job has said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my justice. Oh, my goodness. I'd say it. I believe we get such thoughts. For he has said, it profits a man nothing. Job has said, says Elihu, it profits a man nothing that he should delight in God. Goodness. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, and the Almighty to commit iniquity. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. God is a just God. If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. Folks, God is absolutely sovereign. His eyes are on the ways of men, of man, and he sees all his steps. Therefore, he knows their works. Job speaks without knowledge, for he adds rebellion to his sin. Chapter 35. Do you think, he says to Job, do you think this is right? Do you say my righteousness is more than God's? And that goes back to what he said to Job when he said, Job said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my justice. Job, is your righteousness more than God's? Surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it. See, he doesn't answer to anybody. But remember, he's compassionate and merciful. And now, because he is not punished in his anger, nor taken much notice of folly, he's saying that to Job. Therefore, Job opens his mouth in vain, empty. He multiplies his words without knowledge. Chapter 36, Elihu goes on, I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. Not Job's, but God's righteousness. Not our own righteousness, but God's righteousness. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker, says Elihu, for truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Folks, he's either lying or he's a type of Christ. Indeed, says Elihu, God would have brought you out of dire distress into a broad place where there is no restraint. And what is set on your table would be full of richness. But you are filled with the judgment due the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold of you. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take you away with one blow. For a large ransom would not help you avoid it. Now that's speaking of an earthly ransom. Because he says, will your riches or all the mighty forces keep you from distress? No, not in the eyes of God they won't. Do not desire the night when people are cut off in their place. Now listen, this is profound. Take heed, do not turn to iniquity, for you have chosen this to turn to iniquity rather than affliction. Did you hear that now? Folks, when we are afflicted, we must trust in the Lord with all our heart and not turn to some sinful attitude in rejecting what God has laid upon us, choosing that iniquity rather than the affliction God has sent our way to make us more like Christ. Behold, God is exalted by his power. Who teaches like him? Who has assigned him his way? Or who has said, you have done wrong? Job said that. God answers to nobody, but God is compassionate and merciful. God speaks. Then the Lord answered Job, chapter 38, out of the whirlwind. Who is this who darkens the counsel by words without knowledge? He's saying this to Job. Then the Lord answered Job, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Have you commanded the morning since your days began? Caused the dawn to know its place? Have you entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in the search of the depths? No one can go to the depths of the ocean, folks. You blow up. Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? And say to you, here we are. Who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the heart? God and God alone, folks. Chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Job responds. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Will you indeed annul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. That would be him acting like God, being God. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in secret. If you can do all that, Job, then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Folks, God is absolutely sovereign. Chapter 42, last chapter in the book. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose can be withheld from you. You asked, says Job to God, you asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Friends, as the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept your word. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. The eye of his mind, heart, and soul sees now. Therefore, I abhor myself, the last words of Job, to God. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And that's what you and I are about throughout our lives, folks. Repenting to the one true God. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, and so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord also accepted Job. Beloved, God is absolutely sovereign, and he is compassionate and merciful in that sovereignty. For the Lord accepted Job, and so he accepts you and I as his elect. Amen.